Yeshua was nifter. The Bnei Yeshua left in his tzava that they should not be maspidim. He left the tzava, and the Bnei Yeshua was a very strong person. And the tzava had mashmoyis that one who's maspid the Bnei Yeshua would have to be worried about the punishment, because Bnei Yeshua was a makbid that they shouldn't be maspidim. But Derech HaNivis, the night of Yehuda, there's two versions of the story. I'll say it in the stronger version. The stronger version of the story is that the Knight of Yehuda is the Rav in Prague. He also was a very strong person. The Chuvisvaram was the greatest of the Paiskim that we have. And the Knight of Yehuda, when he came to the Levaya from Pnei Yeshua, he read the Tzava. This is the stronger Nersuch, the stronger version of the story. That he read the Tzava and he read it in front of everyone. And he read the Pnei Yeshua Tzava, that the Pnei Yeshua said not to be maspid. And whoever's maspid will have to worry about what will happen to him in the Chule. And the stronger version of the story is that the Pnei Yeshua took the Tzava of the Helika, the Yehuda took the Tzava of the Helika Pnei Yeshua and he ripped it up in front of everyone. And he said that the Pnei Yeshua is making a mistake. That's how he started his hesped of the Pnei Yeshua, that the Pnei Yeshua is making a mistake, because the covet of the Pnei Yeshua is not the covet of the Pnei Yeshua, it's the covet of Klal Yisrael. And the responsibility to be maspid, Adam Gadol, Kemoi Pnei Yeshua, is not his decision b'chlal, it's a decision of the whole Klal Yisrael. And it's the covet of Klal Yisrael, and it's the churban of Klal Yisrael. And the Mela, it would be a bittul kvaidai of Klal Yisrael to not be maspid Pnei Yeshua. And when Mela, he went on to be maspid Pnei Yeshua for, I think, an hour, they say. That's the stronger version of the story. So when you hear that Rav Aaron Leib left in his tzava that they should not be maspid, so there's two reasons why. We'll talk about Rav Aaron Leib. B'tayrus hesped, not B'tayrus just chizik. B'tayrus hesped. Because number one, which is more important, of course, is Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that tzava only applies to his children. The tzava only applies to his children. My son is in the yeshiva here in Yerushalayim. The yeshiva is Rav Moshe Shteyman Shlita. He's the son of Rav Aaron Leib. And I asked my son yesterday, I said to him, no, I'm going to be speaking today. I'm speaking Motzei Shabbos about Rav Aaron Leib. And give me stories, something, you know, the son of Rav Aaron Leib. I mean, he sat by yeshiva the whole week. Imagine what the stories and what came out of there. And he said that Rav Moshe Shteyman, when he came back to yeshiva, he's made a hachraza, announcement, nothing, not saying anything. The tzava is chal on me, right? On the children, the tzava is not to say anything. That was quite the shalaba, right? That's not applicable to us. There's nothing to do with us. But number two, yesh ladin on that statement, which he said, because with the story with the Pnei Yeshua and the Neid Yehuda, it could be that he should be saying. But that's his responsibility. So our responsibility is for the covet of Klal Yisrael and for the covet of Gadol HaDor, of Churban Beis HaMikdash, is to discuss him and to see, obviously, what we're supposed to learn from such a person that is so rachik, so rachik. And everyone's beginning to hear all different stories about the precious and about the precious, about the no shaychus to Olam Hazeh. And that is dangerous. Because then he could become iconolized into a world that I have nothing to do with that has nothing to do with me. A person that could what his musagim of Gashmis are, so then I have nothing. It's an interesting tzaddik to have heard about, and it's definitely an interesting tzaddik to visit his kever one day. It's going to be hard to find because he doesn't want anything written on it, but it's definitely something that has nothing to do with me, and that's terrible. That would be a tragedy. That would be an absolute tragedy, especially because the Aris Tvash writes in Kamas Places that when a tzaddik is nifter, so the kinyanim of that tzaddik are up for grabs. It doesn't just mean very, very frum-looking people in Bnei Brak can grab those kinyanim. It means that every single person in this room, even the ones that aren't as frum-looking as the other guys in this room, right, they also are worthy of receiving those kinyanim. And they're not just worthy, they should be trying to grab those kinyanim. But Derech HaHesped, you have to hear things about on a higher level, and then on your own level, see, what can I take from that? What musa can I take? Don't take the stories. Don't take the stories I'm going to say. Don't take the incredible level. Take the musagim. Take the musagim, and then where I fit into that, each person on his own is going to have to write his own hesped, what he wants being said about him. Have to figure out how to take it. But not just listen as stories of something that's rachik. That's nothing to do with me. As a gracious side, you see what a person, imagine, it was, you know, in all the years that I'm paskining halacha and that I'm involved in halacha, involved in Torah, anything, what went on last week, it's mind-boggling. It's something that it doesn't exist. It's mind-boggling. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, you understand now what it is Chorban Beis HaMikdash. You understand now what it is to have a Gadol HaDor that was Nifter. It's Chorban Beis HaMikdash. For all intents and Musagim, Hanukkah was canceled. They canceled Mesibas. It was Musagim that were beyond. The yeshiva where on the Pesach, they asked me, by Torah, they asked me that they make a Mesibah, not make a Mesibah. So he said there shouldn't be Mesibahs until they had a Mesibah. It was supposed to be Thursday night. And they canceled the Mesibah. And they asked me, should they cancel Mesibah? Rechaim said, after the Shiva already, on Monday night, you can start having Mesibahs. And says, Chanukah, you have Mesibahs. Well, it was mind-boggling. I said, what's the Shaila B'chal? Rechaim, what do you want from me? Would I on my own have understood to say that? Probably not. It says, Mefirsh, there's no tightness, there's no Hesped on Chanukah. Is Vais the Chais, Chorban Beis HaMikdash, there's different rules. If the Beis HaMikdash were to be destroyed, the year after the year that they were Mekayim that year, Hanukkah, did they have jelly donuts that year? Did they have Mesibas in the year of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash? Probably not. Probably not. Did they light candles? Mestama, yeah, there's a mitzvah to light candles. Did they make Mesibas? Probably not. Mestama, not. On the whole year, they didn't make Mesibas. Mestama, I don't know. The second year, did they? Yes, I don't know. But Mestama, on the first year, they didn't. So you understand what is. First of all, you understand what's Gadol HaDor, what's Chaim Kanievsky. You understand to be able to say such a thing, there's no Mesibas this year. To be able to say such a thing, it's a part of our pashit, our hanhagas. It's a part of our culture. It's a part of our it's a part of Klal Yisrael. No mesibis, right? But you also understand what's Chorban Beis HaMikdash, what's our Aron Leib. So let me explain, based on a Gemara. There's a Gemara that everyone knows, the famous Gemara Bab Metzia, and this Gemara is a difficult Gemara. The Gemara brings down the story of Rabbi Eliezer. I think everybody knows the story. The story was that he had a machlekes with the other Gedolei Yisrael of a certain Shaila and Tum of Tyra, and he had a machlekes. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer said, "Kol tshuva sheba oidlam v'lo kibla emenu." He started explaining, I'm right. He started explaining, I'm right. And then he said, if I'm right, you know what? Amalehem emalocha kamaisi charev ze yochiach. This tree, this carob tree, this carob tree, should be uprooted. It should be uprooted. And Kachave, all of a sudden, this carob tree was uprooted from the ground. There was an ace. And they said, we're not interested. And then he said, if I'm right. So then, Amasamayim Yochiach. Amalai. Imalacha Kamaisi Charav Ze Yochiach. It got uprooted 400. If I'm right, Amasamayim Yochiach. The water, the flow of water, it was going downward. The flow of water is going downward. So the flow of water went upward. Say, I'm right. You see, I'm right. What are you fighting with me? I'm right. And then the Gemara goes, and they didn't accept it. Amalai, there's no raya from there. Amalai, malacha kamaisi, if the lach is like me, koisle beis hamedrash shachiach, the beis medrash wall should crumble. V'kachave, koisle beis hamedrash, they started koisle beis hamedrash lipol. Garbam, Rabbi Shua said, no more, none of your games. Loi basha mayim hi. Stop with your games. Fekter vil negoyin, koisle kasha. What, moifsim? Litvisha Kasha. What? Maifsim? More Maifsim? More Maifsim? The tree was uprooted. The walls were shaking. The Amos and Mayim went a different direction. So we get the point already. So what's Rabbi Eliezer? I'm right. I proved to you I'm right. The trees are going to uproot. So do one Maifis. Once you see they didn't accept the one Maifis, so they're going to accept the second one and the third one and the fourth. What now? Zaktevil Nagayan, Moyerdik Yisai. Moyerdik. Zaktevil Nagayan, that we have a concept that there are some people in this world that halacha kemoisam bekol makoyim. Hashem imoy. It's said by David HaMelech. Hashem is with him, and halacha is kemoisay bekol makoyim. That's the person that has siyata deshmaya of the whole entire door. The whole entire door, there's always going to be one, there might be two. There's somebody that halacha is kemoisam bekol makoyim. And over here, Rabbi Eliezer was saying, I am that person. I'm the person that Hashem imoy and halacha is kemoisi bikol makoyim. And I'll prove it to you, Moyerdik. Who are the people, says the Vilna Goyen, that the halachas like them bikol makoyim, and they're the ones with the siyata deshmaya? They have to have three things. So the Vilna Goyen, the first thing they have to have to be that Gadol Hador, that halacha is kemoisi bikol makoyim, is number one, istapkis bemuet. He doesn't need a dafnish. He doesn't need. Stopkis bemuet. It doesn't need. He's somebody that is mistopic with a little bit and a little amount, and he's not somebody that's looking for lots. Like the Gemara says, Achispala person before a person prays that Torah should come into his body, he should pray that Madonim and Gashmis don't come into him, because that's a steer. It's not going to work. If he has too much Gashmis, it's going to push out Torah. So the first thing is, Charev. Chorev. The tree was a carob tree. And everyone knows the famous Gemara about Chanina ben Daisa. Chanina ben Daisa was somebody that was the whole world that is mistapik based on Chanina ben Daisa. And he's mistapik on one epis carob the whole week. He's mistapik on the tiniest amount of food. So the first thing you need to be the halacha k'maisa b'kol makoyim is chariv, is mistapik b'muad. So he said, look, the halacha is like me, I'm chariv. I'm mistapik b'muad, and the tree was uprooted. Then he said, number two, the second thing a person needs to be halacha k'maisa b'kol makoyim Hashem imoy, is he has to be someone who's an anava. 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 Nishkaiva. Anava. And the Gemara says, lama nimshala divrei toira. Why is the toira nimshala to an amayim? So out there, it's like an amas amayim. Just like a water flow goes from high to low. Just like water, the derech of water is it goes from high to low. So too, the derech of Torah is to go not from to a high person. It's to go from a high place. The Torah comes from Shemayim and it goes to a low place. It goes to a person that's an anav. So number two said Rabbi Eliezer, I'm halacha k'moitzah b'kol of makoyim. I have that. If I'm right, the amas amayim should change its flow. I have that too. I have anava. I'm changing that too. And the amas amayim showed that it's halacha k'moitzah b'kol makoyim. Stipler going one time, they brought a bacher to him, they brought him an Eloi, and the father said to him, my son, he's an Eloi, he's a tremendous Eloi, and he doesn't learn, he doesn't have cheshik to learn, he has nothing, he does what's the pshat, he's so brilliant, he's such an Eloi. Stipler said, it's what you want, it's your fault, he's been told his whole entire life, he's an Eloi, he thinks he's Balgaiva, he thinks he's this, he thinks he's the cream of the crop, he thinks he's everything, and the male of this guy, even there, Torah runs away. Torah runs away. If there's gaiva in there, Torah runs away. You have to tell him. You have to give him chizik. We're proud of you, what you do. But to tell him you're an Eloi, you're brilliant, you're a genius. So then gaiva comes in there and Torah runs away. Ein halacha k'moise b'kol makoyim, say Rabbi Eliezer. And the third thing says the Vilna Gaon. What you need in order to be Hashem imay Godel Hador. Godel Hador. Who's Godel Hador? Is you have to have the third thing. What's the third thing? Third thing is, talk to Gemara, shkidos ha-toira hasmada. Hasmada, 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 hasmada. And who's a smada? It's not there. I have a smada. It's not Rabbi Eliezer. I have a smada. Koisle beis hamedrash yochicha. The walls shake when I walk into this place. That's the person that siyata the shmaya of the door, Hashem imay. And they answered back, with your rayas, loy bashamayami in the psak halacha. Even noch alts that you're the god lador, but the halacha is loy bashamayami and the halacha is like we said. Adkan the gemara. This is the uptight, the description of Rav Aaron Leib. This was the description. Everything you just heard was a description of Aaron Leib Shteinen. Stop kiss bimuit. The stories that are coming out. The musagim. The stories that are coming out. Musagim. Again, I beg of you all, listen to the stories. Don't stop sweet to the stories. Afterward, ask yourself, where do I need to be mistopic bimuit? Where do I need to be mistopic bimuit? Afterward, ask yourself, where do I need to be mistopic bimuit? But don't go and say, well, Rav Aaron Leib Shteinen, I heard yesterday from one of the sons of Aaron Leib, who probably wasn't allowed to tell me this. Okay? He told me that Rav Aaron Leib Shteinen is an entire life. I can't explain what I'm about to say in Arab Yisrael. Most of what I'm going to say today, I cannot explain. Right? And I myself, I'm listening to these stories, I don't connect to these stories. I connect to the Musagim. And Musagim, once there was a person that lived like this in the world, it means that I could do something too. Rav Aaron Leib Shteinen, his entire life had three coffees. I can't explain that. Right? I had three coffees this morning, Rabbi Yisrael. Right? I have had three coffees since between Shurim, I have three coffees sometimes. I can't understand. So if you're not a coffee drinker, you don't understand what I'm saying, right? But in Bnei Brak, they're coffee drinkers. That's how it goes. Right? He had three coffees his entire life. I can't explain that. With Shurim and the life that he went through and when he was in Switzerland and in concentration camps in Switzerland, not in Auschwitz and whatnot. It was a different type of concentration camp. But he was in Kent and this, and to have three coffees his entire life, I can't explain this. Right? We're going to see soon a person that the smother was Le'umin. It was undescribable. What do you mean three coffees? Right? What do you mean three coffees? I can't explain it. Right? Rav Liashiv used to drink a coffee every single morning. I saw it one time, 2:30 in the morning. I saw it. It's musagim that I can't even masik. It's musagim that don't even... Rav Aaron Leib was a Magid Shir in a place called Kfar Saba in Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of the Yishuv. So there were lots of people that went to. They went to Petach Tikva, they went to Kfar Saba, then they went to Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak was starting at the time. This is when he came over during the war, 44, 45, and maybe 46, actually. And in Kfar Saba, he was, part of the story sounds like he was, it seems like he was like a Rosh Hashiva there of sorts. He was also a part of the Koilo there of sorts. And there was one point, the story comes from Neman Beisar of Rav Aaron Leib. He said that Rav Aaron Leib got a regular, you know, some type of a koil stipend that obviously wasn't a lot of money in those days, bichlal. And obviously the koil wage wasn't so much bichlal. And there was one point where the koil was not paying. The koil wasn't paying the net money. I heard the story originally. It was 3 months. The person told me the story yesterday. Told me it was 6 months grata. For six months, they didn't pay. 6 months, they didn't pay. And after 6 months, they finally paid. They had what to pay with. And they came to Rav Aaron Leib. And they gave him the money for that month. And they gave him back pay for all the months that they had not paid. Okay, so Rav Aaron Leib asked, "What's the shot? It used to be that the koydel check was eight shekel, and now this is like 48 shekel. What is this? What's going on over here?" Right. So they told him that no, my son's back pay. So Rav Aaron Leib, he said, "Ich bin nicht kein Poyel. Poyel means I'm nicht kein worker. I'm not a worker." Right. I learned for free. What do I need? Give me money because I need to live. Somehow I made it the last few months. Right? Somehow take your money back. What am I? Take your money back. Somehow I made it the last few months. What'd you give me money? Somehow I made it. So they asked his wife, what taco did you do? How did he do the last few months? Right? So he said that there was a tree taco by them. They had like a tree. And there was guavas. I think it's called guava, right? Guavas. And there were guavas, a guava tree. Right? She said, that's basically what he ate the whole week. Guava is like, stories like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that it grew a carob. There was a guava tree there, that's what he ate during the week. So, but what about Shabbos? So she said like this, that Ba'atzim Rav Aaron Leib held that Asei Shabbos Chachoyl, Val Tetzarech Lebrius, to go with that mahalach of not asking for tzedakah, even if it means mamish, making your house like a choldik matziv, like a weekday matziv, no extra food, no meat, no right? But Rav Aaron Leib held that his matzav of choyl was not even choyl. So you can't do that to Shabbos. I say Shabbos choyl, v'al tetzarech lebrius, right? But it's not even choyl. To have just what, like this, nothing, right? So on Shabbos, somehow they managed it. But she worked a little, she did something, and they managed to get enough money together to buy chatzilim. What's chatzilim? Eggplants. So she told him like this. He told her like this. He told his wife, Friday night, roast the chatzilim. Right? Friday night, he managed to get bread. They had a slice of bread. Each one of them had a slice. I can't explain what I'm saying now, by they each had a slice of bread. There was no lechem mishnah. The kiddush was on bread. There was no lechem mishnah. The chatzilim on Friday night roasted, and when he would eat it, he would say, like the roasted chicken, zula kavod Shabbos. Shabbos day chatzilim cooked, chalent. Merdik. And Shalshudis, that was like the best of all. That's like the Rava. It was the leftovers of the roasted chatzilim. It was the leftovers of the cooked chatzilim. It's like Merdik, even me'einoy l'maba. Right? Ichab shein alt. I have everything, Rav Aaron Leib said. I can't explain. But that's it. So, mistapik b'mu'et. It's a different musagim. I once went. I think they say over. They say, somebody said over at one of the spades. Say, what Rav Aaron Leib ate in 1 month, we eat in a day. Right? And what Rav Aaron Leib learned in a day, we learn in a month. Might say, after you hear these stories, it's what Rav Aaron Leib ate in his lifetime, we eat in a day. Right? And what Rav Aaron Leib learned in a day, we learn in a lifetime. So different musagim, but you have to get these musagim. You have to be able to appreciate these musagim. I once went to Rav Aaron Leib with Bachrim, and one of the Bachrim, musagim. What were his musagim? Is mine. So one of the Bachrim was asking him how to get a geshmak in Torah. I think I said the story here to the island last time. He's how to get a geshmak in Torah. It's not geschmack and this and that. So Rav Leib, the musagim, he's saying to them, chizik, so he said, let's say there's something that you liked its taste. So what would you do? What would you do if you like its taste, right? You'd eat more of it, right? So he said, the mashal, like, what food do you like? What's geschmack? What's this? So what were the musagim of all of us, right? I don't know, I'm going to say something, you might laugh at me, right? But like, I don't know, like sour sticks or, I like those, like Doritos, right? It's a Friday night, this is what I think, Friday night's coming. Sour sticks, Doritos, moyerdik, right? And that's like, I'm musagim. And everyone there, I don't know what they were thinking, you guys are thinking, I don't know, maybe gummy bear, I don't know what people think. But the musagim, right? So everyone, so he says, no, he was asking for somebody to say, what do you like to eat? What do you like? So he was saying, what he eventually was going to go on, he said, so when you like a lot of that, so not my musag, you like lots of sour sticks, you eat more sour sticks. It's like Torah, if you like Torah, the more and more of your Torah, whatever he said over there is not what I'm getting my point right now. So finally, nobody would talk, right? So somebody, I was going to talk. I was the Rebbe there. But I didn't even know how to say sour sticks in Hebrew. What am I going to say to him? Shtekinim. Let's say, hopin epis, epis modna. It doesn't sound good. You know, sour modna, though. It doesn't sound good. So I just was quiet, right? So he took my arm and he squeezed my arm. He said, no, as I be like fish. The musagim, right? What was the musig of the most epis kingashmistic exact that Aaron Lake could think of? It was like, you know, like herring, like fish. Musagim, different musagim. So he was in his musagim of his tapakes mamuet, incredible. But I heard a story. How does one do that? How does one do that? You know, it's not easy. And again, at least we have to somewhat try to figure out. So I heard a different story about Rav Aaron Leib, the mesiba that I had, and the kailal that we had. So he said, murdik maisa. But it's a very, very high level maisa. Afterwards, you ask the Rashiva to explain to you this maisa. Ask older people. Doesn't have to even be a Rosh Hashiva. You can ask your Rosh Hashiva. You have to ask older people to explain this ma'aseh because you have to have life experience to understand the godlessness ma'aseh. You'll appreciate it anyways, but even more. Rav Aaron Leib, everyone knows, lived in Rechav Chazanish over there, in the four Chazanish, you saw at Levaya. That street's a very, very big street. I can tell you something very interesting about that street. That street used to not be so big. It used to be that it was a very, very, very small street. The actual street was like two lanes, and that was it. It was a very small, mamish a small street. I think even the two lanes were like more than two lanes, and if you parked the car, it was shem shemayim, you know. It was a very... And Rav Aaron Leib lived in four. He lived in four Chazanish over there. And... Five, excuse me. He lived in five Chazanish. And he had a massive chatzer. The building had a massive chatzer. Massive chatzer means like, you know, Gansa backyard. You know, the backyard went of both buildings on either side of the street went all the way. That what you saw in Chazanish didn't exist, right? It was like, if you have an Israeli musagim, it was like 12 meters, like the Americans that don't know math, that's like 4,000 feet or whatever, right? So, you know, so it was a big, big garden. And, you know, when you're living in a small apartment, like tiny little apartment, and you have Azeifel Kinder, you know, like 40 schnitzloch and duh, so you need a place for the kids to run around or whatever, right? And you can imagine... What happened was that the government came and they decided they want to make the major thoroughfare of Bnei Brak, Rechav Chazanish, one of the major ones. They want to make it over there, and Rechav Chazanish. And they basically, they what's it called? I think eminent, right? What is it called? Eminent. We steal your property and whatever, right? And they pushed the chatzah that way. They pushed the chatzah that way, and they took the metal. And now all these people were left with what you saw: no chatzah anymore. No longer, there's no chatzer at all. Just building, and starts the street. And not only starts the street, it starts the street with buses and matzid and thus. So imagine, you can imagine, there were a lot of people that were upset. And imagine, zikha, rightfully so, you can imagine what we would be thinking, right? Somebody came to me 2 weeks ago, just understand musagim, somebody came to me 2 weeks ago, he was looking at the papers of his house, and the papers of the delineation of his property, and it turned out that the neighbor had gone over a foot. The neighbor had gone over a foot. So he came to me and he told me, it's also an Eretz Yisrael, it's Asik Vul, and it's a Shaila D'Oraisa, and this and that, or whatever, right? And I said, yeah, I hear. I'm saying, what do you want me to tell you? Is you break down the house? I'm like, well, you're right, I hear. Right? Yeah, but it's not right. So if he has to, he should. Masogim. Right? You have a house, you only realize this 13 years after you're living there, right? You know what the Americans say, take a chill, you know, calm down, you know, retardo. What are you, crazy? Right? Think, are you nuts? Are you crazy? You're living in your house. All of a sudden, you found musagim, but it's mine. You know, a foot. I lost the foot. I'm not saying you shouldn't be the one that take the foot either. This guy made a mistake, etc. Just the musagim. What bothers us? They took away his entire chatzer. The children lived in the chatzer. They said they lived there. So what was his reaction? Again, everybody's upset. Okay, right? What was his reaction? They asked him, are you upset about this? So he said, Chanukah. I don't know what he's talking about. Chanukah, Shaychas Chanukah. He says, now there's going to be more piercing for the Menorah. Right? He lived in a different world than us. Right? His world was in Olam Haba. Chanukah, Murdik. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Right? When you live, we can't do this. I can't do this. Right? I'd be there with a sign. Right? Right? I can't live like this. Right? But I'm just trying to explain to you, how is it that we get into the world of appreciating non-gashmi. Because when you live in Olam Haba, so then when he was here, all he saw was mitzvahs and Torahs and mice and Torahs. So when he saw them taking away his chatzah, he said, Murdik, Chanukah. This is Murdik. What could be better than this? I'm not saying. I can't live like that. But the musagim of how to be living in the world, he bathed in honey all day long. Was he lacking? Nothing. Feltzach garnish. So that's halacha k'moisai b'kol makoyim, everywhere. Agav, Maimar Muzger, someone who, in the first aspect of Gadol HaDor, so perish from Gashmi, he vaday can't understand the door, right? Vaday not. That for sure not. If the person eats chatilim for, you know, does my chicken, does my herring, does my dog, right? And the person had three coffees his entire life and doesn't verstehen was a sour stick, and when he sees them taking away his entire life, his entire vermögen, his entire property, he sees one thing. He sees moiridik, chanukah, ah, gewaldik, right? Yeah. So then, I can, you know, he zicher doesn't understand our door. Somebody told me recently that our door, every 2 years, is like a door. And it talks about these 50-year-old men, they walk around and say, Pasha can't verstehen the door, bechlal. They can't verstehen the messianis, they can't verstehen their taivis, they can't attend anything, because it's so many dairis. It's so many dairis, right? It's so many dairis. It's not true. It's not every 2 years, it's every 2 minutes. It's not true. And it's not the 50-year-old that can't understand it. It's the young guys like me, the 18-year-olds, right? That can't understand you people. I can't understand it. So you think of Aaron Leib. He's 104 years old, and he's from a door from 2,000 years ago, Betzim, right? And Yizikah can't understand a door. Yet we all know that everyone in the world that needed Eitzah knew where to go. So with all, with Nach, with Alts, with everything, but that was the address. Mistapik b'muat. That's Gadol HaDor number one. Number two, Zatavil Negayim, Moyerdik. He has to be someone that's Anova, in order to be Gadol HaDor, Alocha Kamaisai Bekol Makoyim, Anova, Rav Aaron Leib, Anova. Rav Aaron Leib once came back from Chazayin Ish. His wife said not to tell this story. I heard the story this week. I think she's not to tell the story until she's nifter. I'm not sure if it's until he was nifter or something, but she knew that Rav Aaron Leib wouldn't be meichler, right? So she said, I guess wait till he gets to the Olam HaMes later. And so he once came back from the Chazayin Ish, and he was crying. He was crying, and he wouldn't tell his wife, and he was mamish crying. And the next day, he was crying. He, like, out of nowhere, he just started to tear. And his wife asked him, what's going on? Ever since you came back from the Chazon Ish, you know, us, we have a certain issue that happened with us, and we're very sad about it, something, you know? And for 2 days, we're crying, or we're upset about it. Maybe we will shed a tear, but maybe we won't shed a tear. We're very upset about something. So finally, our wife asks us, after two days, says, Maisa, you're not saying to me, what's going on? I'm a wife. So he said to her, you can't tell anybody. She says, but I can't go back to the Chazon Ish anymore. I can't go back to the Chazon Ish anymore. And he had such akmas nefesh, he can't go back to the Chazon Ish. He says, why can't you go back to the Chazon Ish? Well, he was upset with you about something, you can't go back to the Chazon Ish. That's a reason to be upset, Taka. So he said, because when he goes into the Chazon Ish gives him such kavod. The Chazon Ish, he calls him names, and he calls him this, and he's misyaches to him like he's somebody to be misyaches to. And he talks to him the way he should be talking to Briskerov and to Gedei Leador and to whatever. I can't go back in there. I don't know. The person told me that he'd stop going to the Chazon Ish. He stopped going to Chazon Ish. He couldn't be soivel it. He couldn't be soivel it. Amolov, he had no choice. He had no brera. He went to the Chazon Ish. He had no brera, right? He would learn Mesilas Sharim for the entire day beforehand, right? And then he would go into the Chazon Ish. But he has no choice. He had to go to the Chazon Ish. But I can't go back to the Chazon Ish. So he's crying, right? His wife said over, there's two stories that she said not to say until she's in the Olam Emes. He's in the Olam Emes. And over there, it's all Emes. There's no games, right? There we know who you are, Aaron Leib. No games, right? Over there, it's no games. Over here, so you have to be quiet. She said over that one time she sees him in the backyard that was now Rechov Chazon Ish. And she sees him over there, front yard, backyard. And she sees him over there, and he's digging up something over there. And it's like late at night, and there's nobody around, and he's digging something. You know, you see your husband, you know, in the middle of the night digging up something and putting something in there. Face, you know, you quickly call your parents, I want to go home quick. He's digging up something. He's throwing in papers after papers and all different types of papers and whatever. So she asked him, what's all this? So she says that it's nothing, right? So she chaffed one of the papers. She chaffed up one of the papers to see what was going on, right? And she went inside, and she sees it was cut out parts of letters that he had received from different Rabbanim, Gedolim, etc. And the letters always start, L'chvayid such and such. Right? L'chvayid such and such. So L'chvayid, you know, so when our friends write to us to say, yo, what's up? Right? But when his boys wrote to him, right? When Aaron Leib's friends wrote to him, like the Briskerov and like the Chazayin Ish, and like Briskerov was his next door neighbor in Brisk when they lived together. So when his friends wrote to him, they wrote L'chvayid, and they knew who he was. There are no games of Aaron Leib up there. In the Olam HaEmes, there's no games. They wrote L'chvayid, Harav, HaGoyin, HaTzadik, HaChosid, HaVis, the Emes, whatever, everything. Right? HaBaki, Bikol, HaToyro, Kula. Right? Everything. So his wife said to him, what's like, you know, that's how people write. They write it, so she tried to be Menachem, and they write it to other people too. Don't think it's just you. They just write it to anybody. They write it to regular people too. Right? So he said, yeah, but what'll happen one day? People will read this and they'll believe it. They'll believe it. It's true they write this to people, but people might read these letters. Who knows? 120 people are going to read these letters. So they'll read it and they'll actually believe it. So nisht. I was in Bnei Brak about 11 years ago. It was right after Avraham Leib. I was there for Shabbos. And right after Avraham Leib had gone to America. And everyone knows, I don't know if you guys were a bit young at the time, right? You were alive or 11 years ago? After Bar Mitzvah, before Bar Mitzvah, Nach the Abshering, after the Bris, whatever. But it was like, if you do remember it, it was like David HaMelech coming to town. It was like the COVID, they just come back. I was there the next Shabbos when he had come back. Well, it wasn't just America. He went to Canada, and he went to France, and he went to everywhere. And he went to Mexico, he went to everywhere. And a 95-year-old man, everywhere. Kitzer, he came back that Shabbos. I saw something which so disturbed me. I could see it. It so disturbed me. I see it. On the stairs, the stairwell in that area over there, whatever, leading up to his apartment building, there was, everyone knows Rav Aaron Leib was whatever shita he was strong about, and there were a lot of kanaim that were negative Rav Aaron Leib. Right, and there was a graffiti, right? Graffiti. It said there. I can't say what it said there, but it said Shteimen equals, and it said something Geferlach. Right? Let's say whatever it said. Yeah, whatever it said. Let's the worst possible thing that I could think of. I don't know, Tzioni. Whatever. It said something Geferlach. But it said Shteimen. It was like Geferlach. Right? I hope we're good. No, because Masa, we have to mention something about the Zionist government or whatever. So it said something Geferlach. Right? And I'm looking at this, and I'm watching as Rav Aaron Leib on Shabbos is walking up the stairs, and right next to him is the word Shteimen equals. I'm thinking myself. I'm going to erase it now on Shabbos. Right? It's a I don't know, Kavanah Torah's Doich or something like that. Right? I can't be soifel. Like, what happened? Obviously, I'm thinking to myself, the only way that this could be, he just come back from America. So I'm thinking to myself, Mistama, obviously, what had happened was that somebody actually did it on Shabbos, because otherwise, anybody in his right mind, they would have painted over it, right? Such a brilliant man I am, right? Wouldn't somebody have had the brains to maybe paint over it? Even like, Ben Hashmashis will get a guy or somebody that will act like a guy or something and paint over this. It's a Pella de Gemaisa. So I got, I went there, I davened minch there, and I walked out, and again I saw it. I'm seeing it now while I'm talking to you. I'm seeing it now. So I was so bothered. After mincha, they closed the doors there. Right? And then there was a mincha. The mincha there always, and Rav Leib was always mincha. Shabbos was like 12:30, depends in the winter, the summer, but 12:30, I remember. So 1 o'clock is the end of mincha, and then people would ask questions, I would ask questions, and then about 1:15, I left. About 1:15, I walk out, and I see that thing, it was so bothering me. So I went back, and I knocked on the door. I knew that, obviously, Rav Leib is not going to answer the door. There are people there. So I knock, and no one's answering. I knock again. So I said to the person there, finally, he answered, lo, lo. I go, no, I just, I'm not nichnas. Lo mevin. Echse shelo machaktem etzeh. What's going on with you? So he said to me, Adoni. Adoni in Hebrew is like, yo. And Adoni, excuse me, sir. Adoni, when he came back, I think he had come back. I don't know the numbers. I think he came back, like, say, on a Thursday or a Wednesday, something like that. Right? He said, Didalcha, Motze Shabbat, Masha Shiva Yagid, Keno Lo Zenim Chak. Whatever he says, we're erasing it. Masha Shiva Yagid, whatever he says, erasing it. What, Sheikh is what? Rav Aaron Leib did it? Right? Shteimen. Well, so he said, when he came back and he saw it, he said, ah, Necham Tani. When he saw it, came back and he saw it, he said, ah, Necham Tani. Right? So somebody was there that done it, mamish, that one moment and whatever, and he came back and they saw it, right? So one of the Talmidim started right away coming with something to scratch it out. So he said, no, Tazavit, leave it. Right? Leave it. And he was mocking, nobody touch it. Right? And my high, he said, I got a Zayfil covered in America. Right? I got a Zayfil covered in America. And everything I did in the last 95 years is gone. Right? I got a Zayfil covered in America. And everything I did in the last 95 years is gone. Right? So give me something, a little bit of Olam Haba. Something. Right? Imagine if we, us, imagine us, somebody with graffiti on the wall over here. Right? Imagine right now, someone with graffiti on the wall, callous. Equals, I don't even want to say. I don't want to say. You try it, Rabbi Sai, right? You try it. I'll see you in Armanuchas. You try it, okay? Callous equals. Yeah? Callous equals. Callous equals. I would die. I wouldn't be able to walk into this base medrash. I know you're all thinking, that's a great way to get around it. Callous equals. I would never be able to show my face again. I wouldn't be able to, right? And you know, Rabbi Isai, it's not like one person who's screaming against Rav Aaron Leib, right? It's not like one person, some one idiot, and does. Obviously, it's a people, and sometimes it's even people that's a chashuv of people, right? It's right. And him, leave it. That's my oilam abba. What you take that away from me? Enough of this, gaiva. Enough of this, right? 95 years is gone. Give me something, right? What the Rosh Hashiva says, yeah, mashiyah. Can mind that we're not listening to him to be maspidim, but Maite Shabbos we're erasing it, right? Another halacha can moisei be kol ma koin everywhere. Rav Aaron Leib, Mordek, his Panovich Rav came right from the airport. His daughter got engaged to Zev Berlin. His daughter is actually just Niftaris. Also, the one that was just Niftaris, Panovich Rav got off the airplane and came straight to the Arison, the engagement. Came straight to the engagement, and he told this Zev Berlin, the son-in-law of Aaron Leib. I heard it from him. He told him, Herzuchain, listen closely. He said, the shver, you'll never know your shver. He's a star betoy chastar, you'll never chap. You're never gonna chap. He's a star betoy chastar. He's a hidden within a hidden. You're never gonna chap. And you should know, this is Moshe Shteyman, the son of Aaron Leib, he said over that it's not difficult for the children not to be maspid him. You think it's like, or to not, you know, talk. It's not difficult because his whole metzias was of such nature, of such a nova, right? That it became such a natural over there to not be talking about him, to not be excited about. I can't explain this. If you understand it, good. If not, too bad, right? But he was of such a nature that to talk about him, it's not negeya. How could you spend an entire life of knowing your father's metzias is anava, his metzias is that of humility, and to go and talk about him, which it's entire nature is against him, right? Hastara b'tay chastara. Somebody once asked, Shlomo Zalman, who's the Nister Hador? It's a funny question, right? Who's the Nister Hador? Who's the Nister Hador? So Shlomo Zalman thought for a moment, and Shlomo Zalman said, Lezer Shach. 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 Said, Nister Hador. He's Bivadai not. He's the one guy who's the most known person in the Ganze world, in the Ganze Dor. So he said, it's a tipa of the yam. It's a drop in the ocean. If you would understand what a Rav Shach is, right, you'd realize what we're seeing is a star of betoich a star. That's Rav Aaron Leib. What you're seeing of him is a star of betoich a star of what he was. That's number two. And the third, which is God l'ador halacha b'kemoisai b'kol makayim. Everywhere, Hashem imai is hasmada. 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 Shkidas ha-toira. Koisle beis ha-medrash falling down. Like Rabbi Eliezer. I'm in control of the koisle beis ha-medrash. Listen to me. The psak is like me. Yeah, don't listen. Shalei b'shamayim. Shalei b'shamayim. Hasmada. Listen, Rabbi Isai. If you think that when I listen to this, I strive to this, I don't. But I strive to hasmada ha-toira. I can't explain this, Rabbi Isai. I'll go mikala la-kovid. I'll go from easy to not shy. Not shy. Easy is, I heard from the person, that Shabbos, when I was there in Bnei Brak, I heard from a person that there was a whole mishlachat that went with Rav Aaron Leib to America at that time. They went from place to place to place. Somebody put out a yoman, like a diary, of all of the travels that he was with Rav Aaron Leib from the year 96 until, I think he was nifta before Rav Aaron Leib, so until I think 2006 and something like that. And I was reading over there, The almost like this much of the diary was about the travels in America in those couple of weeks when he was in America. They went from here to there to there to there to there. The travels meaning he would speak out little things that Rav Aaron Leib said and whatever. He went from here to there to there to there to there to there. Okay, they went to Mexico. They came back from Mexico. That's my understanding from the story. They came back from Mexico. He said they came back. There was a bunch of people with them. There was a bunch of people. Some of them were 40-year-olds, some of them were 50-year-olds, some of them, right? There was a bunch of people that went with Rav Aaron Leib. Askanim, Rabbanim, Chashav Yidin, Rosh Hashivas. They went together with Rav Aaron Leib to places that he went. He said, but the schedule of Rav Aaron Leib was 95 years old. 95 years old, Rabbi Isai. Older than Misu Shelach. 95 years old. They came back, and he said, there's no Vada, there's no Shaila in the world. Every one of them, right, went straight into their bed and collapsed. There's no Shiloh. He says he went into his bed and collapsed. Everybody went into his bed and collapsed. He said, Rav Aaron Leib, 95, I can't explain this, everybody said, 95 years old, he came back and he learned straight the whole entire night. Right? 95 years old, everybody said. That's something that maybe, yeah, we could understand. That's something we could understand. Maybe, right? That maybe, right? Then you get to a level of misogim that you can't understand. You can't understand, but you have to just know that it exists. Therefore, you're shaykh to the concept because you're a ben of Avram Yitzchak and Yankov. So the musagim, which are way beyond, was somebody said at a hesped yesterday. My son recorded it. I listened to the hesped. He said something which I can't explain what he said. He said that he was some type of a hoizbacher by Aaron Leib, some type of a close talmid, some type of a gabbai of sorts, whatever. He said that Rav Aaron Leib, from the year 1955, Tavshin Tezva, 1955 to 1995, 40 years. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Tzir, and like the high school of Panovich, you know, the Yeshiva of where so many Talmid Chachamim, Rosh Yeshivas came out of. He said he had an office there. He said he knows personally. From Chatzos Halayla, from Chatzos, whatever you call Chatzos, 12 o'clock, right? Till Alois, every single night for those 40 years, the light was on in his office and he was sitting and learning. For those 40 years, he learned every single night, the whole night. I can't explain this. I guess he slept for a couple hours before that. And then he would get there by the time of Nates and Alois. So he would see the light still on and he was there. He knew he was there after Chatzais. And sometimes he would come in the middle of the night and he was there. He was always there. Right? So what do you think? Let me ask you a question. I'm old man. Right. Let me ask you a question. What do you think? You think from the age of Rav Aaron Leib, from the age of 55, right? It's basically from 1955 to 95. No, it must have been from the age of 35, right? Sorry, 45. 40 math. What do you want? For 45 to the age of 85, Rav Aaron Leib. That's when he learned the whole night. What do you think happened before he was 45? I'll give you a hint. I'm before 45, right? And before 45, there's more kayach. What do you think? So you think that beforehand he learned less? You're talking about an 80-year lifetime of learning the whole night. Learning the whole night. Like the Rambam says, if you want to be zoicha to keser at Torah, you don't waste one of the nights. Nobody here should do this. Chalila. No one should do this. It's an avera. But the musagim. It's a musagim. It's a different musagim. When he went to yeshiva, I think the Olam knows already the story. The story with the doll. That became a famous story. I'm going to tell you one part of the story that you maybe don't know. I'll say the story because I'm not sure if everybody does know. The story was that Rav Aaron Leib, when he came to yeshiva, he went to the yeshiva of the Imre Moshe. Imre Moshe is one of the great Sobolovsky, one of the great Rosh Yeshivas of that neighborhood, the Brisk, and that area. He got in, he was 11 years old. He was a neighbor of the Brisker Rav. He used to learn Chavrusa with Reb Beryl. He was older than Reb Beryl. Reb Beryl Salvation, the son of the Brisker Rav. He learned Chavrusa with him, and they were kids. So when he came to the Imre Moshe's yeshiva, Brisker Rav sent a letter to take him into yeshiva. I think the story goes, he said, I don't need a letter. I came to Faher, the two of you, him and Reb Beryl, he was in Brisk, and he came to Faher. I asked him what they were learning, and he answered him, the 8-year-old boy, he gave him cover to cover, Gans Mesech the Kedushin, and any question that he asked. So Mele, you got in already when you were 8. So he came to yeshiva of the Imre Moshe, he was 11. And the kids in the yeshiva, they were 16 and 17 and whatever, right? And they didn't like it, right? A little 11-year-old, you know, like a little, what's the word, a twerp? I don't know the word. It's like some kind of a little whatever, right? So they didn't like it. So what they do, what do kids do? You know, we think like back then everyone gave tzaddikim. So the story is that they took a doll. They took a doll, like a bear, a little baby bear, I don't know, right? And they put it in Rav Aaron Leib's bed. Right? And they tucked it in like as if you're a little baby. You know, they're like, shtach, you know, a little baby. And the next day the bear was there. It's a little bit the opposite of Yana Goldilocks' story, right? Then the next day the bear was there. Right? Next day, bear still there, right? Third day, bear still there. They thought this kid don't sleep. This kid don't sleep. So then, you know, and that was. Then they took away the bear. At the end of the story. How do we know the story? Because years later, somebody came to Rav Aaron Leib. Years and years and years later, an old man came to Rav Aaron Leib and he came to ask him mechila. He came to ask Rav Aaron Leib mechila, and he said that he was the one that put the bear in the bed. Sounds like some kind of a rhyme, right? But he was the one that put the bear in the bed. So Rav Aaron Leib says, "No, he's talking about bechal. Isn't that what he's talking about, Bechal?" Right? So he said, no. You know, he must have said, it's not true. It's not true. And then Rav Aaron Leib said, I know what's going to happen. They're going to start spreading the story that this part of the story not everyone knows. The first part, I think, is somewhat of a famous maisa. It's not true. It's not true. And they're going to start spreading the story and say, yeah, Rav Aaron Leib, he never slept and he didn't even know they put a bear in his bed and thus. And they're going to start spreading the story. And it's not true. And it's not true. Because when I left yeshiva, when I left the Imre Moshe's yeshiva, so his father told him that he has to sleep. He has to sleep. As father told him, he has to sleep 4 hours a night. Right? He has to sleep. And he said he's not Mesugal. He's not shy. He has to sleep 4 hours a night. And the Biskarov got involved. And they came to a pshara. He said two. They said four. He came to a pair of three. So I slept 3 hours a night. Right? So there was no bear there. There's no bear there because I slept in the bed every night. So when the fellow walked out of the room, he told the people that were there, he said, I put the bear there. There was a bear there. Right? Slept, he didn't sleep. That'll be his cheshbon to take up with his father in Shemayim. If he did sleep or he didn't sleep, that's his problem. Right? But I put the bear there every night. Right? Merdek. Musagim. It's different musagim. Different musagim. Musagim Ashkida. It's late. It's already after Chatzais. I just tell you that it's late. It's late. I used to live in a building. There's a Jew named Rom. He's a Rosh Kailal. He's now in the Olam HaEmes. He's a Rosh Kailal in Sirotskin. He was in Schweiz in those years. I heard a story person from him. He said that when Rav Aaron Leib was in Schweiz in those years, Rav Aaron Leib was a very weak person. He was a weak person. They put all of the refugees, they put them all in a, like of sorts, a concentration camp. It obviously wasn't the level of concentration. It wasn't the, anti-Semitism, I'm sure they were, right? But it wasn't the level, Chalila, of Auschwitz and whatever. It wasn't that level. But Akoponim, it was a labor camp and whatever. And the guards saw from the Emeskite of Aaron Leib and his Asmadat HaTayr, he would work and he would in one hand have a sefer and he would be working, right? And they saw how genuine. They went to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who was also there at the time. He was Moshe Soloveitchik from Schweiz, and he was there. And they went to a few of them, and they said, listen, if we let him take off, and he sits and learns, you'll take up his workload. I mean, we're talking about people themselves were great Jews, right? But they understood, but their Aaron Leib is the Masmid Arasayf, and they did. And that's what it means when the Mishnah says that Mishnah Makabel Olav Ol Torah, Mavirn Olav Ol Derech Eretz. Took away from him the work. And Rav Aaron Leib sat and learned. He said that he would come. It was so cold. This Ram told me, Rav Ram, he told me, it was so cold. So one time he woke up in the middle of the night from the freezing cold because he couldn't sleep. There was like a kitchen there or something. He went in there to see, maybe, it'll be warm over there. Maybe it's like a fire. It's a kitchen. This, that. He says he's there 3 o'clock in the morning, right? And there's Rav Aaron Leib Shteyman sitting and learning, right? It was Musagim Rabbeisai. It comes from Mistapik B'muet. It comes from Murdik. Anova, it comes from Shkidas HaTorah, Asmadas HaTorah, and then Hashem Imai V'Halacha K'moisei B'kol Makoyim. His kinyanim are up for grabs. His stories are not up for grabs. They're not. It's Mistama. There will never be a person that will ever live in this world again like that. It's Mistama. Somebody that can eat chatzilim, and somebody that have 3 coffees his whole life, and somebody that, it's mistama, there will never be a person like that again. And there's no shaila, that's not a tfiya. That's not a tfiya, it's not interested. Rav Hashem doesn't interest in that. But his kinyonim are up for grabs. And the greatest toyis that a person could make is when he's offered, the Gemara says in Gittin, a shaita is somebody that they give him something valuable, and he throws it away. And you give him something, he takes a rock. Ooh, a rock. And he takes and he holds it. They give him a coin, he throws it away. The Gemara says, that's a shaita. Right now, the kinyanim are up for grabs. If you now don't take this and throw it away, now you can learn now stark. Now stark. And it's musar, not so far. The winter's mind is not as scary anymore. You had a break now, Hanukkah time, and that. It's not so scary now. It's until, it's until Purim, it's until that. 2 strong months of taking those kinyanim. Kinyanim of istapik b'mu'eh. Just as they fill in the gashmias. Not as much. No, so much. Right? A little bit more anava. A little bit more mar. And asmada satayra. And that'll be maridikil and neshama. And we should all be zaycha that maridika or. The or, he was the lamed vav tzadikim kipshutai. If not the lamed vav mamish. Kipshutai. That was taken away on Hanukkah. Should be zaycha the or chadash al tziyan tayra. V'nizkech alana meher le'ayra. Thank you.